Hi, and welcome to Awaken Your Inner Wisdom. I'm Cissa Williams, and in this interview, you'll meet the amazing Heather Ashamara, who's a community leader and best-selling author of the Warrior Goddess series, The Warrior Goddess Way and the Toltec Path of Transformation. In this interview, she shares her wisdom about leadership, creativity, clarity, and asking for our needs. And Heather Ash is a true leader with such compassion and integrity, and she helped me to see with clarity the importance of knowing how to ask for what you need and to ask it in such a way that it is without expectation and without abandoning yourself. So let's head over to this interview now, where you'll meet the lovely Heather Ash Amara. Hi, Heather Ash. I am so delighted to meet you again. I absolutely love our conversations. So thank you so much for being here with us today.
Thanks so much, Cissy. I always love having a conversation with you and being part of your beautiful dream and all that you share.
Well, I love having conversations with you and being part of that amazing birthing and dreaming into being that you're creating. I'm absolutely amazed by the force that you are in the world. And you are so down to earth and loving and compassionate with it. It's very inspiring, actually. You're a true leader in that. And that brings me actually to our topic today, which is about leadership. So what does leadership mean to you?
I love this question. For me, leadership is about learning how to be better guides and allies to ourselves first and then to others. So often I see leaders that are focused on how do I help or serve or fix other people? And I've found a lot of people that are not grounded in themselves or that haven't done their own inner work, but are leaders out in the world, which means they become burnt out. And that's really where I started. I realized at a certain point in my life that I was in a community that I was teaching teachers and was doing a lot of things with a lot of different people at the time. And I recognized something was really wrong because of what started happening in the community and the fact that I was really burnt out. And it caused me to really pause and go, all right, something's not right here. Like I'm living my dream, but I'm not happy and I'm burnt out and there's all this friction in the community. So I actually went on the road for a year. This was about 20 years ago. I went on the road for a year and just stopped everything and got really quiet and started listening to what's the piece I'm missing. And I realized through that inner journey that the conflict and the chaos I was seeing in the community was in here.
Yeah.
And that it had, of course, then shown up in the people that I was in service to. So through a lot of introspection and deepening, I started recognizing this idea that we as leaders are often trained, we're domesticated to be conditional towards ourselves, which is I'll love you if, that there's a lot of judgment and criticism that we humans tend to motivate ourselves with. And that I wanted to start shifting into what I think of as unconditional leadership, which is from a deep sense of peace and love and groundedness in ourselves, that we're our own best friend and ally. And that from that place, we then share our love and our insights and our support for others. But that it stems from learning first how to be unconditional with ourselves, which is an ongoing journey. There's so much to untangle about that. And then learning how to help others become unconditional in relationship with themselves.
Absolutely. So we will go back into some of the steps and how we can do that. But it's so interesting because we did start our conversation today before we started the interview that I really admire the force you are in the world because it is absolutely extraordinary what you have created. And at the same time, you're so loving and approachable and it's so easy to connect with you that that is what I see is like a true leadership in that and how to be human in that expansion and that success, that kind of outside external success. Because as you then started to grow and expand your ability to reach more, and I think that's the case for all of us, the moment we are we're kind of invited to expand more, whether it is that we expand more as a parent when we have a child or we have the next child, and it's like that expansion that is required of us, or when your business suddenly take off and you expand and you reach more. It's so easy to get caught up in just doing more, and then we become very fractured and drained, and we lose that inner fuel, that inner fire. So, and I think many people listening to this, I think we've all felt it at times. Yes. Absolutely. Especially in today's world, because there are so many demands on our attention out there as well. I mean, we can waste so much time on social media and the internet and getting caught up in drama that isn't even in our real life, so to speak, our physical reality, plus with the other chaos that is going on in the world. So what is the first step for us to bring ourselves back to what is our spark, our truth, our light, our guidance, our inner sense of self?
Such a beautiful question. And it really is about having the willingness to learn how to ally with ourselves in a different way and to befriend ourselves and to be patient. So often we're like in a rush to fix ourselves or to fix something so that we can be something else. And, you know, for me, it's about just settling in with learning how to love this human now. And that leadership isn't something we do out there. Leadership is how we are in relationship to ourselves and into the most mundane parts of the world. So like when I'm cleaning my toilet, for me, that's leadership. Like, how am I doing it? How am I bringing my attention there? When I'm in front of 1,000 people, it's the same energy. It's the same. How am I bringing my love and my presence here? And there isn't any difference. And so I think that place of releasing the ideas that we have of there's some place to get that'll make us worthy or important or lovable, and really bringing that back to what do I need? Mm. What do I need now to come back home to myself? And how do I cultivate the patience to be on this journey? Knowing the journey is ongoing. It doesn't have an end. It's an ongoing journey. I still have places where I get fractured and busy and like overwhelmed. And then I have to come back and be like, hi, sweetheart. Okay, come back. What are we doing? How do we do this in a good way?
Is this how you kind of created birth through this journey that you've been on with this, the warrior goddess training? Because it sounds like a lot of the warrior energies to be out there doing. And the goddess is like, come back home. Let's be here. Let's love this. Let's expand from this place. Is that what happened?
That was definitely a part of it. After I'd been on the road ended up moving to New Mexico, I had a lot of folks in California still in the United States that wanted to work with me. And so I was like, let me create a program that's really different than what I've done before. And that ended up becoming the Warrior Goddess book. And it was that place of how do we stay focused and clear with the warrior energy and be able to take action in the world. But balance, I always think about it, is held by the goddess. The warrior energy is held by the goddess. And that's what I'm constantly inviting myself and others to do, is like rest back into the mother, rest back into the divine, rest back into spirit. And learn to listen so that when the action comes from a deeply rooted, grounded, present, loving place. And that sounds so easy. And yeah. Like you said, there's so many distractions and there's so much that arises that we get to, you know, I feel like the universe is really gracious to help us get clear about what we really want and then stand for it. So to stand for being unconditional and learning how to deeply love and not do the good, bad, right, wrong, you know, better than, worse than, but to really be in the experience of all of life is precious, all the manifestations, that there are beginnings and endings, that there are people that are new to things and people that are experienced, and that there's no better or worse. And the universe is going to give us plenty of opportunities to practice coming back home to ourselves.
And I know that when I finally started to get that peace, it took me a while, because it's been so easy to be in my head and manifest from here. And kind of society values that, because you can be very, very, very productive that way. And then coming back to just resting in the beingness and the loving arms of the goddess, initially I then had to also meet all my thoughts, my beliefs that had stopped me from just being with her. It's like, I'm wasting time. What will this lead to? You know, I'm bored, I'm restless. And then the emotions that start to come up as you are allowing yourself to rest back into her loving arms, emotions that I had been running away from or kept myself busy. So, and then obviously after a while, also the sweetness and the peace and the love and the joy that is also there. But what's your advice here when, if we are new to that, or also if we're not just new to it, but we have like a resistance in falling into her arms, leaning into her love?
To get comfortable with discomfort. And to let go of the idea that being busy means being productive, because it doesn't necessarily.
Yeah, that was a big one for me.
Right? Because we're like, I'm busy, I'm getting stuff done, it's great. And then you look back and you're like, actually, there's so many mistakes, or there's places where you're doing stuff that isn't actually what's needed, or, you know, and coming back into that quiet and then taking action, like we're so much more effective. But your question is so important, because it's so true. Why we stay in that busyness is that often there is old emotional content, there are old stories, there's old trauma, there's old hurt that we don't want to feel, we don't want to be in relationship with. We'd rather run from it. And we all run in different ways. You can run through meditation and shut emotions off that way. You can run by staying busy at work. You can run by trying to fix everybody else. I call them exits, like the exits that we create away from the present. And coming into the present means knowing there may be emotional content that comes up that is surprising, or that you haven't given yourself the space to feel before, the grief, the anger, the hurt, or the disappointment, like whatever that old content is. And you know, my mantra is always like, be with the discomfort. Be with the discomfort. Be willing to go towards. It's really helpful to have community of people that are doing similar work, because it's difficult. It's difficult. And when we have people that know how to go towards their emotions and how to let them move, the best image that I have learned about this idea of like clearing out the emotional content is, it's not going to last forever. So many of us have these backpacks that are full of the old emotional content, the old stories, the things we haven't known how to process. And a lot of times it's the kid part of us that doesn't know how to process it. And if we can remind ourselves, I'm an adult now, I've got more resources and skills, and I'm learning, that we actually take that backpack off. And what happens when you get quiet is the backpack starts to settle and come off, and stuff starts to come out, because your being's like, oh, finally, we can start to release this. We don't have to carry this. And it will empty out. It's not endless. If we can get the story out of it and just let ourselves have the feelings and stay with ourselves, they'll clear. But again, it takes incredible patience and the willingness to be in the discomfort. And you can start, like, for people that are like, I don't know how to do this. What I do is I'm literally like 5 minutes. I'm just gonna be quiet and sit for 5 minutes and see what arises. And then the alarm goes off. I'm like, okay, good job. Go back to whatever you were doing and then come back. And then you just start gradually building your capacity to be connected to yourself in the present and to slow down. that you don't have to do it. It doesn't happen all at once, but it's in those incremental, bringing it in over and over again, and starting to listen to ourselves, really listen to what our needs are. I was sharing this with you earlier that we tend to create games in my community, in the Warrior Goddess community, because, and I call them games or experiments, because sometimes what happens in leadership is in a community, you start making, like the leader starts making rules and they're conditional. They're like, you can be part of this community if you do it this way. And we don't even realize we're doing it. And I'll even watch myself language-wise sometimes be like, you must do it this way. And I'm like, okay, wait a minute. Who's saying that? Like, why must? So there's that place of getting clear about why we're doing things and how we're communicating with others that's really important. And we can talk more about what it means to be unconditional, because being unconditional does not mean you don't have boundaries with yourself or others. Part of being unconditional and learning how to be in better relationship with ourselves is that we learn how to make clear, loving boundaries with ourselves and others. And a part of that is knowing what your needs are. So the game that we play, and we try to make it fun so that it's easier to do. And this is something else. What helps us with resistance is making things more fun. Right?
Absolutely.
I'm so serious. Like, okay, now I'm going to be serious and do this. So the game is around communicating with self and with others. And there's four areas. And I'll just jump in kind of to the middle. But I learned this from when I was in partnership with somebody who had a really, really difficult job, and they would come home and they would, as I perceived it, complain. And they would complain. And then my response was, everything's great. How can we look at this in a positive way? How can I? And I was like, always wanted to redirect them and help them. And one day they came home and they're like, I just need to vent. I don't need you to fix this. I don't need your advice. I don't need your positivity. Stop. And I was like, oh. So we decided to play the game that they had 5 minutes to vent every time they got home from work. And I practiced then just being like, they're venting. I don't have to do anything. And I had my discomfort of like, but they shouldn't be negative. And it was like, they need to vent. And what started happening is they'd vent and then they would feel great. They're like, okay, I feel so much better. Thanks. So that was the beginning of that game of like, sometimes we just, what the need is, we just need to get it out. We just need to kind of verbally vomit it, and not verbally vomit it of like, it's your fault this is happening, but just like, I'm frustrated this happened, and that it's not, venting is not dumping emotion. Mm-hmm. Dumping emotion never clears it up.
That is so important.
It's huge, right?
It's not dumping. It's not projecting. It's just releasing it. Yeah.
Just releasing it. Yes. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And sometimes it helps to have a witness for that releasing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. And that's the line, is like, you're not putting your poison on someone else. You're saying, I've got this uncomfortable, icky, toxic energy, and I want to clear it. Mm-hmm. And so that's venting. So again, when we have to then assess, what is my need? Do I need to vent, or do I need, here's another one, is advice. Sometimes you just want advice. So you want to share, here's what's going on. What do you think? Can you help me? What's your experience with this? And so it would be a different kind of share. So first you have to get clear, right? I want advice. That's actually what I want. I want some help with this. I need a different perspective. And then you go to whoever and you say, advice. And let me lay out the problem. And that's really helpful for someone to be like, oh, okay, let me share how I've navigated this, or what my experience is with this. The third one is cheerleading. And I don't think everybody needs this, but I do. So as like a big visioner and dreamer, like I have creative ideas constantly dropping in, and I get really excited about things. And so in that same relationship, like I'd be like, oh my God, I have this great idea. And then this, and then I want to do this. And my partner would be like, you don't have the time to do that. That's not going to work out. That's not a great idea. Like being realistic to help me come back into reality. And I find, and we started getting in arguments around stuff, right? Because I was like, I was like, right, what do I need? So I went to my partner. I was like, I just need you to cheerlead. All I need. I don't want the reality. I know I want no reality in this right now. I just need cheerleading. And so the agreement was, when I ask for cheerleading, that means, great, Heather, what a great idea. I love it. Yes, tell me more. Like, that's all I want to hear. Even if it's the dumbest idea and there's no way it's going to happen because it's not even physically possible, I don't care. Cheerleading.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, it's so great. And then at some point, I will come and say, okay, I want advice. Mm. And I do this with my team now. Like my team, well, I'll be talking about something and they'll get really quiet and they'll take a breath and they'll say, so is this a cheerlead moment or is this an advice moment?
Plus the advice, I suppose, is also different depending on whether it is after the venting.
Right.
You know? Or yes. When after the cheerleading, you kind of receive the vision, because one is releasing the heavy emotions, the poisons, the wounding, and the other one is receiving some inspiration. And it's like, okay, how can we bring this into reality now? So it's different pieces of advice.
It's different pieces of advice. Exactly.
Yeah.
It's so good. And that place of then, like, being able to say, well, I love your vision and here's some, have you thought of this? Mm. Not like it's not possible, but have you thought of this? Mm. Because people do impossible things all the time.
Absolutely.
So we want to give people space to be outside of the box in such a way that they create miracles.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you can ask great questions to help them, like, get more grounded on, okay, how do I do this? What are the next steps?
Yeah. And also sometimes I know with my husband, so I get lots of ideas and have lots of downloads. And he knows me so well now that he knows that there is a difference in when I get downloads that are from alignment, I suppose, or when I get downloads when I'm kind of still spinning and spiraling a bit. And I may not know what that is, because I just think, this is a great idea. I feel great. This is so exciting. And so it's like he's my safety mechanism, because I have a tendency to do too much. And then he sees the end result of that when my body just collapses. It's like, it's had enough. So, but initially when I have the idea, he knows not to say anything. Because as you say, you're just in that amazement of receiving that spark of something new.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's such an exciting journey when you do that.
Yes. Yeah. And it's precious. It's tender and vulnerable in those moments. So it needs space.
Yeah. The image that keeps coming back as we're speaking, it came already when you were sharing before about, you know, coming back to yourself and being with your emotions, is of nature. And if we now think of in the winter, wherever you are, nature has kind of adapted to the cycles. So wherever you are in your journey, depending on how much you can handle of the depth, that's where you will have kind of evolved into. So when you're starting, you're not going to suddenly get the biggest chunk of ice coming up, because you're not ready yet to deal with that. You will get what you can handle. Whilst if we now, because I'm heading up there soon to the north of the Arctic Circle, where my ancestors are from, the extremity of the conditions there are just, I mean, it's just so extreme, with complete darkness for a while in the winter, down to minus 40, a lot of ice. And then in the summer, it's complete. I mean, the sun doesn't go down from the end of May until July, which is just extraordinary. So when the ice starts to melt, it becomes very, it's not very pretty. You know, it's a lot of, I don't know the word in English, it's like slush, and it's a lot of, you know, mess.
Yes.
As it's melting, as it's coming up. But as you allow that process, and obviously nature does, eventually all the blossoms come, all the life comes back. However dark and long the winter has been, it's always being reborn. And I think that's really helped me when I started to notice this is how nature works. So it's to trust that whichever season I'm in, there is an intelligence that guides us in that season. And it's helped my mind to not freak out so much and instead trust my body that is aligned with that.
Mm. Love that. It's so true. Yeah. And it's those emotions are like frozen parts of us. And it seems neat and tidy in a way when they're frozen. Mm. But it also means we're armored. We don't have access to love and being really in the present and deep creativity and deep intimacy because and the in-between part, the like winter into spring part, is messy. It's muddy. It's, you know, just like you said, it's mushy. It's unknown. Mm. And if we can have the patience to hold ourselves through the discomfort of the in-between places, then we start to naturally, what arises on the other side is our own innate love, our joy, our wonder at being alive. That is what the blossoming is that happens when we clear out the old emotional content and the fears and the old stories.
Yeah. Yeah. Love that. Love that. Why I was laughing when you were sharing, I just had one of my students. She was doing a process on someone and then she discovered a poisonous snake and she didn't know what to do with it. So she put it visually in a freezer and like, and just shut the lid and like, okay. And then she went and asked me, what should I do with that? But that's kind of what we do. It's like, I just stick it in the freezer. I don't want to think about it right now. I deal with that later. And once you realize that we've done that within ourselves, for me, it was such a liberation. It's like, oh my God, I can actually open the freezer. I can take it out. I can start to let it thaw. I can allow that now to be processed through me witnessing it. It starts to process. Yeah, just like you said, if you share, if you vent, someone is just witnessing that, it naturally releases. It's just the same when you witness it in yourself. You witnessing it will create that momentum where it starts to heal itself naturally.
Absolutely. And just to keep with this fabulous metaphor is if you pull things out of the freezer and you just then put them someplace and don't attend to them, they're going to start rotting.
Mm.
Right. And then our temptation is I'm going to put it back in the freezer. Like it's, I don't know what to do. It's starting to stink. I'm going to put it back in the freezer. And so it needs to be composted, and to compost something, you have to put it in the soil and dig it in and water, like there's an action. And so that action of either consciously venting. So in a way, when we're just complaining about something, but we're not willing to let it go, it's just rotting.
I love that. That is so good. That right? is so good. Cause it's perfect metaphor for that. Yeah. It's just rotting and you can feel it because you become poisoned by it over and over and over again. And then you also spread that poison if you keep on complaining, like I did for a while with my husband. It's like, and in the end, he had to tell me, you got to stop talking about this now because it's not going anywhere. It's right. You're just kind of rehashing it over and over and over again without actually releasing it.
Yes. Yeah. 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 It's cycling.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's composting, which is to move the energy. And you know, it's so great. Like our bodies and our emotional body is so wise. They actually know what to do to compost. Our mind knows what to do to keep it rotting.
Yes.
You can't trust your mind's like, let me have all the rotting things because I feel important somehow, or like, this is part of who I am. And I don't know. Our minds do all sorts of interesting things of like, we've got to freeze it or it's going to like, we're just going to cycle it around.
Yeah.
Place of really like listening and opening to our emotional body. Hey, sweetheart, okay, what do we need to clear, to actually clear? And I spent a good 6 months throwing rocks around, beating pillow. I had so much pent up rage that I didn't realize, and grief. And what was under that was grief, but I had to get the rage out first, and just physically dancing, yelling, throwing rocks, just giving myself permission, and to not know why or what it was about. It's like, it doesn't matter. It's old stuck energy that needs to be moved. And as it got moved, it started composting and clearing. And then for me, then the grief was allowed to come up, which was so huge. I watched so many movies that I would just sob through, because I knew there's old grief here. It just needs to move. Yeah. And I would use movies or songs to help get it going, and then get out of the way and just let myself have the emotion without trying to figure, again, not trying to figure it out or put it in a box, just like move. Yes, yes, yes. Move, move, move. And then it cleared. So great. And that's when then like everything in my being started to shift. And it's so helpful, like you said, to have people like partners, community that are on the same spiritual path that can say, hey, sweetheart, whoa, whoa, whoa. Like there's cycling happening. Can you look at this?
Mm.
Yeah. And for me, that's unconditional. Conditional is, I don't like that you're doing it. Stop it. You must stop that. It's not okay. Like, and makes it somehow bad or wrong. Unconditional is like, hey, it looks like the cycling is happening and I'm watching you cause more suffering. Can you check in around that?
Yeah.
And then also like, and you can keep suffering if you want to. And there's other options. Because maybe somebody does need to suffer still. Maybe they're not quite through that part of the cycle.
Yeah, absolutely. Because there can be, if there is a deep wound there, and a deep grief, actually. I'm just processing as I'm talking to you right now. Sometimes I notice with myself, if there is an aspect where I'm actually grieving, perhaps the loss of a relationship or something like that, then there can be an aspect in me that is still holding on to it, because I know that once I let it go, it's kind of the final stage of that grief. So still holding on to it makes me still feel close to them. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that might need to have its time. I remember one of the first interviews we did, and you were talking about, you know, unripe and ripe stories. I thought that was so perfect. Yeah.
Such a good metaphor.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that idea is that just like you're sharing, is that some of the stories that we have, we're not ready to release them yet. Even the stories that cause us to suffer. Because there's something that still needs to be untangled out of it. There's something we're getting. And it may be a place that we're punishing ourselves, or it may be a place that we're just digesting something. Mm. So this is, again, if we go back to what am I actually doing, that place of awareness, and what are my needs? And to look at, am I using this to punish myself? And do I really need to do that? Or am I just not through this yet? And I need to give myself more space. So unconditional, again, leadership is listening to what our needs are. Knowing also that just because we state what our needs are doesn't mean somebody else can fulfill them. So I think this is a big mistake that we sometimes make, where we're like, I spoke my need. And then we get frustrated because somebody can't meet us.
Hmm.
But just because we are able to speak a need or make a boundary clearly, you know, I share this with our women sometimes, that in the Warrior Goddess community, they'll be like, but I set the boundary and I was really clear. And I was really like, I really said it well. And I'm like, and that doesn't mean anything. Like, it means, yay, you said it clearly, but it doesn't mean the other person's going to be able to fulfill the need or hold the boundary. We get to come back again to, okay, if it can't be met, what do I do now? Without abandoning myself, without making them wrong.
Yeah. Because otherwise you set a boundary with an expectation. Yes. And then it's conditional.
and then it's conditional. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I have a great story I'm in the middle of right now. I call it my shit show. So I just bought a piece of property next door. I live in a really little town, and there was the place next door is like my driveway went through it. And it had this really old trailer anyway. So I bought the property with the agreement that the last owner was going to move the trailer over within 2 weeks. It's been 2 months plus, it might've been 3 months now. And every couple weeks, he's like, I'm going to move it. It's done. It'll happen. And it hasn't happened. People actually moved into the trailer because they thought it was going to move. I mean, there's garbage everywhere. It's a disaster. Disaster. I could go on and on. So I could vent. yesterday, I've been really sitting with it. I'm like, this is so perfect because I'm talking about being unconditional. How do I do it in the situation where someone's very disrespectful around an agreement, not following and honoring their agreement? There's nothing I can really do. I can't go move like the trailer by myself. So I've had to be really creative and sit with it and be like, all right, so what do you do in a situation like this where it feels kind of helpless? And how do I like let my rage and my frustration and my like out? And also towards this human too, in a way. And I don't mean towards like dumping, but just like, and I've been like, you are being so unimpeccable. Like, this is not okay with me. And doing it as cleanly as I can. And then realizing they're not going to follow their word. They're actually lying to me. Like, and I'm like, I went in with full faith that I would be met the way that I show up, and I'm not being. And now I'm hearing around the community, everyone's like, oh yeah, we know he's like that. Sorry. I mean, literally I called someone yesterday and they're like, I'm so sorry you're having to deal with this and learn this lesson, basically, that not everyone is upfront. So it was so perfect yesterday because they're like, well, call the sheriff. I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Because I finally asked for advice. I'm like, I've cleared it out. Like, I've done my internal work, but what's next?
Yeah.
So call the sheriff, find somebody else, you know, see who else can move the trailer. So I'm writing this letter now. And this is part of the communication and like being unconditional. Is I'm very clear. I'm like, if the trailer is not moved by tomorrow, and I'm going to figure out the timing, but by tomorrow, or you don't give me the address where I will be having someone move the trailer, and you have promised that you will pay them in cash or by check, and you owe me this much money for, just like, I will do this. I will call the sheriff. Mm. That may not work either, but it's the next step.
Exactly. Exactly. Right? And I'm sure as you're moving through these steps, you will then learn and have to witness so much within you.
Exactly.
Where in the past, perhaps you had avoided taking those steps. At least I would. And yeah. It's like learning to, oh, I can do this with that fierce compassion. Because yes. It's not helping them either to play along with a game that is so... it drains everybody, including the person who's doing it, I would imagine.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And I, you know, we can also make up all sorts of stories around them. And that's, I'm like, ouch, they're causing themselves suffering. And it's just getting worse.
Yeah, actually, I could hear that as I said it. Because that's always been my thing. I always end up feeling sorry for them. And like, oh, you know, they must have been damaged. That's why they're doing it. And then my husband has said to me, I'm not going to repeat the phrase, but he said, sometimes you just have to make a clean break.
Yes.
And it's like, oh, all right. Can I do that? And it's like, yes. It's like, okay. So it is that. Yeah, I could hear it as I said it. Isn't it so funny? Oh, wow. Wow. Thank you for sharing that. I am sure that we have various trailer situations in our lives where we feel it's not moving, you know. I can't shift this. What is going on? Yeah. Yes,
exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
It's fun. Again, it's in a way, if we can play it as a game, like to come back to, okay, let me look at it a different way. Let me play with this. Let me explore that. And we really look at, okay, where's the place that I need to vent? Where do I need advice? Where do I need cheerleading to help me stay in this, like figuring out what to do with the trailer? know, how to unfreeze this and get it moving.
Yeah.
And we can go into blame and shame and frustration. And some of that's going to happen. Like, I'm frustrated. And how do I not dump and make them bad and wrong? And also, like you said, also how to, well, they're wounded and they have their own problems. And, you know, at a point, you just have to go, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
We have an agreement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And as you said, it's when we, because I had this experience the other day. So I was stuck in my thoughts and there were a lot of things going on. And I just set aside a little bit of time, maybe 10 minutes. And I did like a journey on myself. And as I journeyed in, I could feel all these, you know, tentacles like a web coming out from my head. It's like, I see myself as a tree. It was overgrown and it was absolutely made no sense in there at all. And I realized I could spend a lot of time just clearing here. And I could hear this guidance going, drop deeper. Mm-hmm. So I kind of just drop deeper into the trunk of my tree. And then I could feel myself going, should I clear some roots? What should I be doing? It's like, no, just drop, honey. Just drop. Stop looking. And then as I dropped deeper, I was then let out of the trunk. And there she was, the divine mother coming. Just come to me, sweetheart. Just come to me. And as I looked up, I could see how I could get stuck for so long, just looking at the thoughts, clearing the thoughts, trying to analyze it, getting stuck in all that stuff. And all I needed to do eventually, once I was ready, to release that hold of trying to sort it out, there she was. And then she actually guided me to the medicine. Yeah. But I couldn't reach that medicine up there.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful. But it goes in stages. You know, I wasn't ready immediately to do that. And that's what you're sharing. You have these four stages. I think it's so beautiful when we recognize that that's part of our human experience. It doesn't mean that one stage is better than the other, because we are human.
We are human, and we're going to have emotions. We're going to make stories up. You know, Don Miguel used to always share, like, make better stories.
Yeah.
Your brain is creative and is going to make stories. So make better stories.
Yeah.
And yeah. Yeah. And really the better stories are the ones where we get to be like the heroine. We get to play, we get to explore, we know that we're learning as we go along rather than punishing ourselves or punishing other people. And that we trust that the mother's got us and that she's got everyone.
Yeah.
And that there's consequences, period. But the consequence doesn't mean punishment. It just means consequence for one's actions. Yeah. So I don't have to like figure out like how to punish the trailer guy, right? I just know there's consequences for his actions and ouch, like, and there's consequences for my actions. And how do I take more responsibility for my energy, for my emotions, for my stories? I love that. And responsibility to like get out of the spin and settle in.
Yeah.
And it takes time.
Practice. And
takes
also practice. And time, absolutely. And also not to feel guilty when you then, at least that's been for me, when you then actually let someone face their consequences to just realize that's just nature. You know, that's what happens. I don't have to go in there and feel sorry for them or try to help them and be kind of that helper, rescuer sort of energy in there.
Absolutely.
And that's a great teaching for many of us. It certainly is for me. Just like I did here with you, I immediately went into that. it's like a natural reaction. But to realize, actually, no, it's none of my business.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I heard something long ago that just changed my life around this. The idea that when we are trying to help somebody like almost avoid their consequences or like help fix them or make sure that they're okay, And this is different from supporting somebody that's asked for it. So what we're talking about is codependence, the places that is that it's actually the height of self-importance to try and fix somebody else or to try and help them avoid their consequences, because it's thinking like, I know what's best for them. And we actually have no idea, what their path is, what it's going to look like. And I think that that's something that I really found in myself, is that because now I've really learned, you know, the gift of getting older, is that you start to learn that the messy times often lead to the most transformation and change.
Yeah.
Like the really hard times are when we get through, like there's such an opening that happens on the other side and we start to trust that. And that for me has allowed me, I've had to make some really big choices and boundaries and people facing their consequence things in the last couple years. And oh my gosh, is it hard? And I keep leaning back into the mothers holding them as well. And they have as much right and resources to transformation as anyone. And that I really don't know. I don't know. I can put all my compassion and love for their journey, but I can't fix it or help them avoid the pain. And in fact, that's a huge disservice.
Yeah. And it's so, I mean, it's obviously, it's so incredibly true what you're saying. And what is so also, certainly I've been amazed how we know this. We have heard this. We know it. We sometimes also teach it. And yet you find yourself in it at times. And it's like, it is that allowing, that awakening, that conscious awakening of letting it come up and see, oh my goodness, I'm doing it again. Yeah. Because I know with my dad was an alcoholic and brain damaged. And I took on very early on trying to help him by holding some of his energy in my body. I didn't realize this fully until I did the shamanic stuff. And I heard him come in to me during that healing session where he said, I didn't want you to carry my pain. It was mine to carry. And I could see that it set up a drive in me to want to help others because I couldn't help him. He just went that way. I mean, he died an alcoholic. He was like a sinking ship. And in the, I had to leave that ship in the end because he would take everybody down with him. And everybody left him in the end. So I could see this. I could witness this. And I learned after a while not to do it with my students. That took me a while. I was definitely a real screw at the beginning. And then I realized, no, it's not helping them. And then it showed up with my daughters. And it's like, there are stages of us realizing, because that was, I'm a mom, you know, I should go in and help. And you should for a while, but not when they are, you know, teenagers or adults as they are now. It's like, I think it's a constant journey of untangle myself from that. Does that make sense?
Oh, completely. Absolutely. Yeah. And I've learned another place of being unconditional with myself is I never say, I'm so glad I'm done with that.
Yeah.
Right? I'm always like, wonder when it'll show up again.
Yes.
Probably will.
Yeah. And that certainly comes with age when you realize, yeah, we're never done.
Ongoing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Plus, it has a tendency to come back and bite you quicker if you ever think you're done or that you mastered something. It's like, wow, it comes back to slap you. Yeah.
You get blindsided then.
Yeah.
And being like, okay, well, I'm curious when it's going to show up again.
Yeah.
What manifestation? Because all of us have these deep places where we had experiences in our childhood that shape us in how we respond to the world. And you know, I think often like in our lifetime, we have one or two or three like core things that are just going to be the things we're navigating our entire lives. Mm. And so like settle in and enjoy the show in a way, like, because it's going to come back over and over again. And it doesn't mean we're doing it wrong. It just means there's another echo or there's another layer, there's another perspective that we get to learn.
Yeah, and it also might be exactly what we need in order for that growth, for that expansion, for that calling. You know, if I hadn't had my dad and I hadn't gone through that, I wouldn't be sharing and doing all of this that we do now. So it's allowing that. That was a big piece for me, allowing that, not feeling I have to now be done with the healing. It's just allowing it, as you're saying. Yeah. And mm-hmm. it's cyclical, isn't it? Everything.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah. And in our game with the communication around vent, advice, cheerlead, we just did a retreat, and we added a fourth one because we started playing a game. This was an advanced group, but the game was you can't talk about the past. Like the entire time that we're here, you can talk about the present or you can talk about the future, but you can't talk about the past. And that is a very, very difficult game to play with other humans. Because you start to realize immediately that you're constantly talking about the past.
Yeah.
That's how we bond and connect. And there's nothing wrong with it.
And it's also what we reference to.
Yeah. Again, there's nothing wrong with it. And it's amazing what happened in the 3 days that we were together, because we started realizing we had to be with our feelings more and really check in with what am I feeling now and then share that, which is vulnerable.
Wow.
And that we also started getting more creative with each other. Well, we're like, well, what do we talk about? And we started talking about communication. And so we came up with the fourth communication one together. We were just, you know, like, which was share. Like, there's something I want to share. And that you're really clear about why are you sharing it? And what we recognized is that we could become more intimate with each other if we were talking about something in the present, but we didn't have the context to then share the past context and then come back into the present. So like someone was saying, like, it's really nice. I'm realizing that there's a part of me that feels really responsible for everyone. And sitting with all of you, I'm realizing I don't have to take responsibility for everyone. I can just rest into this moment. And they said, and I want to share that I'm the oldest of 9 kids. And we were like, oh, we get it. Like, and that brought more intimacy because now we had a piece, and it didn't have to be the whole story of how hard it was, or like, we all got it.
Yeah.
You know, and then those of us that were the eldest were like, eldest kid, you know? Yeah. And so there's this place where if you want to deepen intimacy in community, to play with staying in the present and then sharing really, like, I don't even know the right word, but like, what are the jewels from your past, or what are the things that created you that informed who you are now? And to be able to share those so that deepens intimacy, versus what we often do is somebody shares a story and then somebody is like, oh, that reminds me of this story. And that reminds me of this story. And then we're all way back in the past and nobody's in the present any longer.
Yeah.
With each other.
I love that. So it's like staying in the present, bringing the medicine, the wisdom from the past, and then how can we move that into the future? Yeah. What can we create from this, expand from this? Beautiful. Yeah. And so helpful also, I would imagine, to break the habit of going into the stories.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wow. That sounds amazing.
It was beautiful. And then understanding there's times you really do need to go into the story to help you untangle it.
Yeah, but it's like you say, it's knowing when to do what.
Yes.
Yeah. Rather than it being a pattern that we just always do, we fall into. So is this part of your warrior goddess trainings?
It's not in the book, but it's in our community. So on our Facebook page, we play the advice vent cheerlead game. And literally, if somebody wants to share something, they'll at the top say cheerlead.
Oh, great.
They just want us to go, yay! advice. Yeah. Vent. It's great. And so, you know, vent. And then people know they're just venting. I don't need to fix or do anything here. And then the comments are like, I see you. I gotcha. Thanks for sharing.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's
awesome.
No... Mm-hmm. It works
awesome.
Really, really well.
Yeah. And such a great learning for everybody also to... Because the thing is, if you need to vent, and someone comes with advice, it's very frustrating.
So frustrating. Yeah. It's like this, right?
Yeah. And if you want advice and they just sit there and listen, you go, because my husband is very good at listening. And then at times I just want advice. And he said, you know, what's your advice then? He goes, oh, I thought you just wanted me to listen. It's like, no.
Now I want advice.
Yeah. So good. So good and so clear. Wow. All those moments where you have spent also being in alignment with you is then bringing through all this beautiful medicine that you're sharing. I think it's awesome. In community with others. Yeah.
Yeah. And the last piece is we had fun then when we added the fourth, because we all work with the elements so deeply. We're all like, how does this fit with the element? Like, where do we put? And so in my tradition, air is connected with the mind, which is about sharing the story. Fire is connected with our energy, which is around cheerleading, like, yay, go. Water is connected with emotional body, which is about venting, places where you just need to release. And earth is connected to the physical body, practical advice.
Thank you, Adrash. I always, always love our conversations. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
For more information about Heather Ash and her work, such as her latest offerings and courses, visit warriorgoddess.com. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. Bye-bye.